Okay, before you take a snooze and go to sleep, because I'm preaching, I have a question for you. Well, two questions. It's going to require some participation, okay? So maybe get your arms ready. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Two questions. Raise your hand if you've been baptized. A lot of hands. I think almost everyone, right? We're going to come back to that. I just had to kind of keep you awake. In the reading, we hear Jesus at the end say, "I am going to the Father, but all who believe in me should do the works that I do, or will do the works that I do." And not just that, but we'll do the works in these. That's something that maybe should cause us to pause a little bit. Okay, so we're called to do the works that Jesus did and to do greater ones than he did. If we recall what happens in the Gospels, what Jesus does in the Gospels, the miracles that happen, the way of life that he lived, it's a bit puzzling how he can tell us that we will do greater works than he does, even that we would do the same works that he does. It's puzzling. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of the early church community, a few years, maybe a few decades, after Jesus left to ascend to the Father, this early community of disciples who still weren't sure who they were. They understood themselves as Jews, as Christ-following Jews, and it was only in time that they understood themselves truly as Christians, as Christ-followers in a very holistic and new way. But they were trying, you hear in the first reading, they were trying to figure out how to go about this new way of life. And so they're praying and discerning and realize that they are supposed to call some people to help them with this this sort of upholding of the church. And so they develop, I guess, it's really descended from Jesus, but they develop this sort of separate order within the church of deacons. So you hear them laying their hands, the apostles laying their hands on deacons and commissioning them to help at the altar. And also to bring, as it will be kind of explained throughout Acts, to bring Eucharist to those who are sick and not able to be in the community, to do other things. So they're commissioned to do something special, something essential within the life of the church, and to bring Christ to others that aren't present within the local community, that are maybe on the outskirts, that maybe aren't able to get into the celebration of the Mass. In a certain way, they are doing the works of Christ. And in a very spiritual sense, they're offering Christ to people in a way that maybe prior people weren't as receptive to. You know, Christ was in bodily form when he was man, and the Spirit was in him. And as he ascended to the Father and gave us himself, the Eucharist, he not only was sort of a person on the outside for us, he became a person for us on the inside to help us. And that understanding is a lot of what he points to in the gospel, that Jesus is a help to us, not just in some sort of external form, as a person to kind of tell us what to do, but as the Lord who's within us to guide us. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Those are three key things. The way. Jesus teaches us by his example, by his way of life, how we are to walk, how our bodies are supposed to follow, what we're supposed to do. Jesus is the truth. He offers us a means of understanding the world and the things of God and understanding God himself so that we can use our minds to help guide our bodies in this journey, that with mind and body we can follow after him. The way and the truth. And most essentially, he is the life. How can we ever follow him with our bodies or understand him with our minds if he doesn't help us with the grace that he is? So he gives himself to us to help foster bodies that follow and minds that understand and can guide. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Essentially, he is our only means to get to the Father. The Father being our end, our destiny, hopefully, the thing that we should be shooting for, because with it comes eternal life, eternal fulfillment, eternal bliss, joy that our hearts have always desired, love that goes beyond all loves. Jesus is our only means to the Father in heaven. He is the one who teaches us how we should walk, the one who teaches us how we're supposed to understand the world, how we can guide our bodies to him, is the life that essentially gives us the nourishment, the courage, the strength, the understanding, helps to cultivate this way of following him. Now, stepping back to your answers, raising your hands. Baptized, confirmed. In a special way, we as Christians are required to be baptized, confirmed, and receive the Eucharist. There's three essential sacraments. And well, we're sinners, so we also need to go to confession. That's another sacrament, four. But these three are essential for initiation, to be baptized, to be washed of original sin, have the Holy Spirit implanted in us in a real way, and be cleansed of all other sins that maybe we had committed prior. To be confirmed, that the Lord confirms the call that he gives us to be disciples, and again imparts the Holy Spirit into us, that we may have life, Jesus being the life. It's the same Spirit that was in him. And Eucharist, that we may have Christ in our flesh. These are essential for us. They're essential sacraments for our journey. We're called not to just be happy that we've received them, but to use them in a certain way as we use them to guide our bodies, to guide our minds towards the Father, that is allowing Christ into us so that he can guide us. And doing these things, we'll get to the Father, but like in the second reading, we'll also miss to all others and help guide them. We're called to be living stones set on the same form as Christ is, who's our cornerstone. Set and placed in an ordered way, this sort of path to God, this ordered way, so that others can find guidance from us. You think of how a builder places stones. They place the cornerstone, and every other stone after that, especially in the foundation, they place particularly well so that the stones that follow are in line, right? What often happens is as you go out, you know, further and further from the cornerstone, placing stones, you kind of struggle to base it off the cornerstone. You base it off the next stone there, right? When we allow ourselves to be ordered, to follow after God, to be pointing towards the Father, others can find direction from us. That's our call as baptized, as confirmed, as those who receive the Eucharist. We come to Mass every week, we're required to every Sunday, so that we don't go too far in our journey off the path. The Word of God is here as example to us of Christ's way of life, of how we're called to live, to direct our bodies. There's also so much teaching within the Word of God to help remember who God is, where we're directed, and help direct our bodies to the Father. Those are essential for us in guiding. And maybe most essentially, we come to receive the Eucharist, who is Christ, our life, and we ask him to change us, to transform us, to fill us, to help our bodies to follow, to help our minds to understand, and to guide our bodies, so that in time, we may find ourselves with the Father in eternity and look back and see all of the people that were influenced by us in a positive way, in a life-saving way, and give glory to God for the gift of that. Amen.